Certainly the greatest theme of Scripture is that God in His great glory would love us. I think of Psalm 8 that said, who are we that God should love us so much, but that He sent His Son Jesus to show us who He is. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness is something that we all seek, and we find those things in Christ. In the early 1920s, there was a man by the name of Ira Yates and his wife Anne. As they were married and they began their life together, he was a farmer, as many people were in that era of time. So he and his wife purchased a tract of land on the west side of Texas, in the Pecos Valley of Texas, and he was going to become a farmer and a sheep herder. And so he gathered a group of sheep, and he began to ply his trade. And over the next few years, he discovered that on that hard scrabble land of West Texas, it was difficult to make a living in raising and selling sheep. And so he began to fall further and further behind in his debts and the things that needed to be done and paid for. And so one day, as the bank had begun to tell him that he either had to come current on his mortgage or they were going to have to foreclose upon him, he became very desperate, and in his desperation, he made contact with an individual who was from an oil company. And he asked them if they would come and to drill oil, or to at least take a drill on his property to see if there was any oil there, because there were certainly rumors that were in this area that it was possible that oil could be found in West Texas. And as the seismographic people came and they began to drill, they drilled down and nothing, and finally they kept drilling. And 1,115 feet down beneath the surface of the earth, they hit an oil well. And it wasn't just an oil well, it was a gusher. And the pressure of that oil well, this was back before some of the things that happened today that we know how to deal with these kind of issues, was so great and so powerful that it actually blew out the top of the oil well, and it filled the valley that was surrounding them. And eventually they had to bring pumps in to pump the oil out because it was so great of a hit. The first year, 80,000 barrels of oil began to pour forth from that, and Ira Yates, the pauper, owned it all. That oil well was so productive that later it became known as the Yates Field, of the area around it. It was the most productive oil well ever hit in America. And in 1999, some 75 years after it was discovered, it was still pumping out oil. It reached 1 billion gallons of oil, with the understanding that there was at least another billion gallons of oil beneath the surface. Now, the interesting part about that is Ira Yates and his wife Anne, when they purchased that property in Pecos County, they owned all of that oil. They owned the mineral rights to that oil. And yet they nearly lost it all because they didn't realize what they had. I want to talk to you today about spiritually, what does that mean for us? When you and I come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is some unique things beneath the surface of who we are. In fact, it is so unique and so special that it changes our life in many different ways. I want you to turn with me to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 2, and I want to read verses 20 to 27. I want to tell you about an oil gusher. It's not crude oil. It's the oil of the Holy Spirit. And He wants to anoint you with His power and His presence and the potential in your life that is lying dormant, just waiting to be tapped so that you can be all that God wants you to be. 1 John chapter 2. It has some amazing words in here. Cody and our friends who have led us in worship so far have sung some songs about the amazing love of God. This is how much He loves you, or one expression of His love for you. 1 John chapter 2. By the way, you got your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. Okay, good. I see your iPod back there, Doug. Thank you. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one right in front of you on the pew. And we're going to go through a lot of scriptures today. Some days we only use just a short amount of scripture. Today we're using a lot. So if you have a Bible, it will help you as we go along. 1 John 2:20. But you, put your name in there, but you, Chelsea, have an anointing from the Holy One. Who does? All of you who know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. But as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it taught you, remain in him. Here's the foundation of the anointing. John is repeating or giving information to individuals who are trying to be led away by a group called the Gnostics. And these Gnostics were introducing heresy into the church. And they were making all kinds of claims and promises that were not true at all. And he says, I want you to come back and understand who you are in Christ. He says, Christians, those of you who believe in truth, that's Christians. Those of you who believe in truth, this is what he says. Matt, you have an anointing from the Holy One. John, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Tom, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, some of us get a little queasy about that as to what we're going to talk about today. But I want you to know, if you are in Christ, if you believe in him, if you are following and working for him, you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the oil of his presence flowing through your life. When we come to know God, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. It is the Spirit of power. It is the Spirit of potential. It is the Spirit of presence. It is the Spirit which changes our life, and all things pass away and all things become new. He says to you, you have that because you have the Christ. Now, sometimes we look at the word Christ and we think that that's Jesus' last name, Jesus the Christ. But really what it's talking about is the function of Jesus as to who he is, as to his office. And so when we use the word Christ, the word in Greek is Christos, the word in Hebrew is Messiah that we sang about earlier today, the word actually means what? The anointed one. And so he says Jesus is the anointed one. In Isaiah chapter 61, there was a prophecy that was given by Isaiah, and he said there is going to be a Messiah that is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to lead the people of God into his relationship with him. He's going to release the oppressed. He's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to preach with power and prophetic voice. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 46, Jesus stands in the synagogue one day. He takes the scroll. He opens it to Isaiah. He reads that chapter. And then he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I am the anointed one that you are looking for. I am the one that has come to proclaim your freedom. I am the one that has been anointed to give to you eternal life. Now, in our culture, in the American culture, when we use the word Christian, we mean a follower of Christ. But when you look at the Greek culture, when they used the word Christian, it meant little anointed one. Or it meant those who were following after the anointed one, who is the Messiah or Jesus. So the foundation of the anointing found in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Jesus. Now let's take a look and see what we can discover about the function of the anointing. Why was it there? What is needed about it? In the Old Testament, there were several types of people who were anointed with oil. And they were anointed with oil because they had a special and unique function to do. It was a holy oil. And when anyone was anointed with this oil, they were considered holy. Now, when you and I think of holy, sometimes we think of those superstars But when we're talking about holy, the word hagios really means cleansed and set apart for service to God. So a holy individual was one who has said, I want to be used of God. I want to be cleansed of my sin. I want to accept God, and I want to be used in His service. That was the holy one. Now turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Numbers chapter 3 and verse 3. The symbol of oil is the symbol that is used for the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. So when we anoint people with oil, what we're saying is it's not the oil. That's just a medicinal thing that is used out of some of the elements of the earth. What we're talking about is the representation that this oil means, the representation that it is the Holy Spirit. In Numbers chapter 3 and verse 3, I'm not going to read verse 2 because it's got too many big names in there, and I don't want to pronounce them all. But in verse 3, he's talking about priests. And he says, these were the names of Aaron's sons. Listen to how he says, the anointed priest who were ordained to serve as priests. When the priests were ordained, they would put oil over their head in such a quantity that it would drip down over them through their beard, down over their shoulders, and completely through their body or over their body. They did that as an indication and a sign that we want all of ourselves to be dedicated unto the Lord. Our lips, our mouth, our hearing, our hands, our feet, all that we are, we want to dedicate unto the Lord. Now, the function of a priest in the Old Testament was to lead people in worship. Now, in the Old Testament, the worship was somewhat different than we do today. It consisted primarily of sacrifices and prayers unto the Lord. And so they would sacrifice animals unto the Lord. And the priest would do this as a special sign. A priest is an individual who goes to God on behalf of people. So they're going to God on behalf of people. And in the Old Testament, it says, you have been anointed for this function. Now, the second function in the Old Testament is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 3. 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 16, 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil. The horn of oil was one of these things that looked like a cornucopia, actually. And inside it would have this special oil. And so, verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him, David, in the presence of his brothers. And listen to this. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. The second group of people that were anointed in the Old Testament were kings. They were anointed to rule. Different function than a priest. They were anointed to rule over the people, to take charge, to protect the people from their enemies, to make decisions that would affect the people of the community. And they were given weapons with which to use. They were given armies to command. And they were said, you are our leader. We are depending upon you. And the Lord granted them victory, but the Holy Spirit was upon them to enable them to make decisions and do things they could not do without Him. Now, there's a third group of people, and it's found in Numbers chapter 11. Now, stay with me. I'm eventually going to come to a point here in this sermon. In Numbers chapter 11, there's a third group of people, and this is the prophets. Numbers 11, verses 25 to 29. Numbers 11. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the Spirit that was on him and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, what did they do? They prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp, and they were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. And yet the Spirit also rested upon them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, hey, Moses, My Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. So here are these prophets, and they are prophesying. The prophet was a mouthpiece for God. He heard the message of God, and then he shared it with other people. Sometimes it was a message of encouragement and blessing, and sometimes it was a message of warning. Sometimes it was a message of chastisement. But here's the thing about the Old Testament concept of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're a prophet or a priest or a king, they were all anointed with the Spirit of God for this reason, so that they could minister to people and so that they could glorify God. Their purpose was not to be set aside so people could tell them how wonderful they were. The purpose was not to be anointed so that you could control other people. Their purpose was not so that they would be set apart and people would think that they're unusual and unique. Their purpose, the purpose of the anointing on the prophet, priests, and kings were this. They were anointed so that they might minister to the people and that they could glorify God. Now, when Jesus is born, Jesus fulfilled all of these prophetic roles. Jesus was both prophet, priest, and king. In Hebrews, we are told that he is our great high priest. And then he says also, in the Gospels, it says that he was a king. Not only was he a king, he was the King of Kings. And the disciples came to him and said, hey, by the way, when are we going to set up this earthly kingdom? He says, oh, that's not the type of king I am. My kingdom is not of this world. It's in the hearts of people. I have brought you a spiritual kingdom. And he was also a prophet. He spoke for God. He often went before God and prayed and said, Lord, what would you have me to say to these people? What would you have me to do? And then he announced in Luke chapter 4, the verse that I quoted for you earlier, this is the reason that I have come. Okay. Now, that's the theology. That's where this thing came from. That's the foundation of it. So what does that mean to me? And that's what we're going to talk about here the next 5-10 minutes or so. So what does that mean to me? What does the anointing of the Holy Spirit on these prophet, priests, and kings of the Old Testament and on Jesus who fulfilled all of these, what does that mean to me? Now, in the Old Testament, they were special people anointed for special tasks. But in 1 John, do you know what he says to us? You have this anointing. And when we look back at Moses, he says, I wish that everybody could have the same anointing that these unique and special people of the Old Testament had. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I can't read my own writing anymore. Amanda, I might have to put this in bigger print next time, don't you think? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 22. Now, here is absolutely great news for Tom and Amanda and Alan and the rest of us. This special and unique anointing for the Old Testament prophet, priests, and kings is now the normative experience for those who are believers in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Listen to this. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership upon us. And he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Here's the good news. All of the functions for which the people of the Old Testament were anointed have become the fruit of the anointing of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 2 says, you have received an anointing. He is the Holy Spirit. All of these are now available to you as a Christian believer. You now have the ability to be a priest. You are anointed as a priest to enable you to worship and to help other people to worship. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm not ordained. I'm not a priest. What are you talking about? But in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, you are a what? Royal priesthood. From Martin Luther's time, he said, now, wait a minute. We are all priests before the Lord. A priest is an individual who has the privilege of going before God the Father. We all have that privilege as a priest. It enables us to worship. It begins by we understand who we are worshiping God. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we call him different names, but he is Mighty God, Yahweh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit, the Lion of Judah, the Lily of the Valley. And it says, but his greatest name is Jesus. We sing a little song sometime that goes something like this. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Have you ever left in a service of the church or any church that you've been involved in someday and you said, wow, that was an anointed service? What are we talking about? You see, the Holy Spirit is always here. He is always anxious to do his work. And when we come, if you want to have an anointed service, which is something that can happen every single week of the year, this is how it happens. It happens when the anointed people of God come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. It happens when we come in together and we lay aside the things of the world that are coming in around about us and we say, this moment today, I want to worship you, Almighty God, because there is none like you. I want to concentrate on lifting my voice to you and saying how much that I love you because you love me first. And I want to do that with fellow believers who are sitting beside me. And so when we begin to sing, we don't sing because we have good voices. We don't. We sing because God loves us, and he has opened us an opportunity to tell him how much that we love him. And when it comes time for the offering, we give, not because we have to, but because we love him, and we want to share in his ministry. Remember what the purpose of the anointing in the Old Testament was? So that they could minister to people and glorify God. And when it comes time to pray, we pray with the one who is wording the prayer, and we lift our voices together unto the Lord and say, Lord, this is our desire. And when it comes time for the message to be given, we say, Holy Spirit, anoint my ears that I might hear what you have for me, not for my neighbor, but help me to understand your word today so that I can know who you are. And when we begin to do that, we leave the service of the Lord and we say, this has been an anointed service. The Holy Spirit wants us to have an anointed service every single week. You believe that? Now, there's different emphases. There's certainly different levels of emotion that we go through in a worship service. But God loves to bless his people as they worship him. And the anointing of God is the people of God responding to the truth of God within the family of God to lift our love for God. You are a priest under the anointing of God. Second thing it says is this. You are anointed as a king to give you personally victory over your spiritual kingdom. Now, wait a minute. I'm not the king. Certainly, we are not the king. Jesus is the king. What is one of his titles? King of Kings. It's not talking about earthly kings. It's talking about spiritual kings. It's not talking about the individuals who are heads of state. He says that he is the spiritual head of those of us who have made him the king of our life. 1 Peter 2, 9 says you are part of the royalty of God. It's not an earthly dominion, it's a spiritual dominion. And the kingly anointing in your life means that you are no longer a slave to sin. Now you are a servant of God. The kingly function of the anointing of the Spirit in your life means that you can now say no to temptation and you can overcome by the power of God. The kingly anointing in your life means that now in your spiritual domain, not in somebody else's, just in yours, you have the power to live a life that is pleasing unto God. The kingly domain means in your life spiritually that you now have the possibilities of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, of shodding your feet with the Prince of Peace and walking forth in victory. You now have victory because of the anointing of Jesus Christ. You have spiritual victory in your life. No weapon formed against you can defeat you when you are in Christ. It is a wonderful experience of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our life. Paul puts it this way, we are now more than conquerors through him who has loved us. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you have the anointing of the Spirit upon you, you are a priest and you are a king and you are also a prophet. Now, when we think of prophets, we sometimes think of those who foretell the truth. That's one type of prophecy. But in the New Testament, the primary word for prophet means one who speaks forth truth, not one who foretells truth. You and I now have the truth of God's word. It says that we are his ambassadors, that we carry forth his message. If we're going to understand the great truths of God, we must have the Holy Spirit anoint our minds so that the truth comes through. We all know people who read the Bible and who maybe even know the Bible and who can quote the Bible, but they don't understand the Bible. They used it simply as a weapon rather than as an encouragement. In Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection, Jesus is talking to individuals, and as he's talking to them, they're a little bit confused, and they said, you know, we've read the Scriptures, but we don't quite get it. We don't understand it. And then he says this in verse 45. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth to us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life enables you to be a prophet, not to foretell the future, but to tell forth the Word. It keeps Bible study exciting, adventurous, fulfilling. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it becomes dull and boring and routine. But the anointing of the Spirit is what enables you to speak forth the Word of God with grace and power to your neighbors, to your family, without offending them, because you are simply speaking forth the Word of truth. Psalm 92:10 says, in the King James Version, it doesn't say this NIV wording, it says, Lord, I want to be anointed with fresh oil. This affects every Christian in here. And I've been talking to Christians today. You do not have the Holy Spirit within you unless you have come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit, his presence that is poured out upon us, that flows through us, enables us to operate as a priest in worship and in prayer and in love for one another. It enables us to operate as a king over the spiritual kingdom of our life. It enables us to have victory over the things that plague us and over those besetting sins. It enables us to operate as a prophet as we read and understand the Word of God. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time event. It is not just something that draws us to Christ for salvation. It is that which transforms us. It is a process that might be slow and gradual, but it is a process that takes place in our life. Assuming that we were to have 10 gallons of gasoline here this morning, and we would bring it up here, and I would throw a match in there, it would immediately be a large explosion, and all that gasoline would immediately burn up. Some people see that as the Holy Spirit. But a much greater emphasis on that would be when we take that 10 gallons of gasoline, and we go out to our car, and we pour it in our gas tank, and rather than seeing it blow up and evaporate within a matter of seconds, it enables us to go, if our automobile gets 20 miles to a gallon, which some may, it enables us to sustain that for over 200 miles. Now, do you want something that's flashy, that burns in a moment and then is gone? Or do you want something in your life that guides you and steadily takes you step by step through the process that God has for you? I have a feeling that some of us need a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God in our life. We need a fresh anointing so that we can worship in spirit and in truth. a fresh anointing that we might understand the Word of God, a fresh anointing in our life that we might have victory over some of those things that seem to be plaguing us day by day. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, You're so gracious and loving to us. And as we've talked about the anointing of Your Holy Spirit today, we recognize that this is an area where You have unlimited power for us. And we so often are like Ira Yates and we just leave it unclaimed. All of that wealth, all of that oil that is underneath the surface lies untapped. We believe that You have some unique and very special things for people of God. Things that will enable us to worship You with spirit and truth. Things that will enable us to understand Your Word. People that will enable us to make the tough decisions of life with the confidence and conviction that You are leading us and guiding us. But Lord, we don't want to let it lay untapped. And so we're asking for a fresh vision of who we are in Christ. A fresh understanding of the power of Your Word. A fresh understanding of the people of God gathering together for the purpose of ministering to people and glorifying God. Help us, Lord, to catch a vision of what You want for us as an individual Christian in the family of God. Amen. Would you say?